listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
Do we have a plan?
Betty, I think we need to go.
You will have both carts assembled in two turns.
Oh, it's like an F1 pit stop.
Go inside and get us on. If we have to leave, we have to leave.
Soft moans coming from beyond the door.
Oh, I fucking boot to this thing.
In a moment of coitus.
You want that to be your last?
All your guys are dead.
We're leaving?
I did.
It locks open. Someone needs to close it once we're out.
Hundreds of Warforged.
Oh, fuck.
I'll catch up with you guys.
Cree, please.
As the portcullis, boom, falls closed. He gives Honto a knowing stare. Gives you a nod and turns around.
You got a sharpener.
There's a fly buzzing around. If anyone kills that fly, I'll give you a point of inspo.
I think I have too much already.
If I can catch it, will you
no,
give me
I'm
two?
At two actually.
No. If you can catch it and eat it, I'll give you two.
I think that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, 2 points of inspiration is a lot.
Not giving two for fucking catching a fly.
I think catching it is like just as easy as killing it.
Not easy.
No, I'm talking about a one hand, two finger, in palm. Safe.
I'll get you a pair of chopsticks and you can give it a shot.
Catch it with your fucking teeth.
Are any of you guys fans of the Studio Ghibli movies at all? Like in the least, Spirited Away, nothing. There was a book that was made. It was a campaign book that I backed the Kickstarter for 2 fucking years ago, and I completely forgot about it until it came in the mail. But it's like a whimsical campaign setting for D&D 5e, and it's based off of like the Ghibli stuff. But I like the cover of it. I think the cover is pretty cute.
That's really cool.
It's nice. I like it a lot. I'm sorry. Everyone did their level 3 stuff?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Anyone get anything like really, really crazy at 3? I think you two got the most, right?
Yeah.
You two got the most.
Yeah, it's my actual subclass.
You got something. You got literally nothing.
Yeah, I don't think I
except maybe more spell slots or something.
Yes, that I
no
think,
wild
yeah,
shape for you?
That out.
He's had wild
level
shape.
Three?
He's had wild shape since,
yeah.
Since level 2.
Just haven't used it yet.
Whoa.
So
No.
Did anyone, and this is, I'm curious about this because I mentioned it during session 0 that like I'm cool with it, but did anyone consider multi-classing?
Not at the moment.
Yes.
But there's a time when I could.
Yeah. And you considered it too?
I might, but not, maybe level 5, somewhere around there.
What about you?
I am less about it now than I was.
Really?
When I talked about it. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Because there's cooler stuff that you can get, or because you don't think it fits with the character?
Both.
Ah.
But like 50-50. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Alright, fuck it. Let me get a recap of that last session.
We're at the Capitol. Did he see the Count over there when we were waiting around for a week? And he's like, oh shit, Countess is home alone. Let's make a pit stop.
I haven't clapped that ass
pit stop.
In years. Must take my chance.
You know, I looked it up because I thought there's no way that I'm the first person I asked this question. And I wondered, do Aarakocra, which is what the race that Asan is based off of in this setting, they're called Quetzalborn, but do Aarakocra have penises? Do male Aarakocra have penises? Couldn't find anything.
Oh.
I think this is my most proud moment of treading new ground, in which I changed the canon of Wizards of the Coast settings forever, and say that yes, Aarakocra have penises.
I hope there's some fan art of that soon.
Yes.
Penis birds.
If you're listening,
penis.
Please make fan art of penis birds.
Penis apostrophe D.
Down with
all of them. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna ask come. All the bird furries if they got penises. Yeah.
I wonder if there are bird furries. Penis? Are there bird furries?
Probably.
I only see like the dogs.
I feel like if I was gonna be a furry, I wouldn't be a dog or not. Like, what are you doing?
It's like only dogs. I don't even see like
they're actually they're wolves, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Ow, so.
Baby, I'm playing on you.
You know, I just because like when crazy. You see the pictures of the furry conventions, it's all like it's like that yeah. generic fucking dog, and it's like but they're like different colors.
A couple cats.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, where are the elephant furries? Where are they at? Or, like, there the giraffe one. Furries, you imagine, like, a really, really inconvenient, like, giraffe fursuit.
Both of them.
Like a porcupine trying yeah. to get through.
Double Jesus. Double.
Is there anything from your guys' level up from level 3? First of all, hey, guys, congratulations. Level 3, not only level 3, this is session 20. Pretty big. Pretty big.
That's cool.
Is there anything that you guys got at level 3 that you want to share with the group, or do you guys want to just kind of let it play out as it plays out?
I didn't get too much crazy stuff that's like acknowledgeable, I'd say, so I'm cool just playing it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna let my stuff play out, but I guess, well, as a monk, every single level you get more ki. That's just a...
Mm-hmm. So now how many key points you have? 3?
It's just straight with your level, so...
Three, oh, nice.
3, 4, 5, 6, like, 1 every level.
Damn, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I had 2 rules questions for you.
Let's
so
go.
So, like, I used... Before, level 2, I had 2 first level spell slots.
Yeah.
Level 3, I get 1 more.
Yes.
I used both my second level or first level spell slots, yeah. and I got 1 more.
Yeah.
Do I have to wait for a short rest no. for them to reset, or do I just have 1 now?
You have 1 now. Typically, the rules are that you have to wait until you take a long rest, but since we're doing extended rest rules, I don't want to do it like that.
I had another extended rest rules question.
Let's go.
So with my infusions, with my infuse items, each time I finish a short rest, I can change out 2 of them.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I had to do that the second I finish a short rest, or if I could do it those 2 times in the length of a short rest if I wanted to change something.
I would like it to be treated as part of the short rest so that you're doing it during the short rest.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And that's easy as just saying, like, you do it when you wake up.
That makes sense.
Like, the same thing about preparing spells. Like my guys who have to prepare spells, which I don't know if there's any of you.
Me, I thought.
Yeah.
Yes, you. So, like him, he does it right when he wakes up. He can't do it, like, at a random point in the day.
I have to prepare spells.
Do you?
Yeah.
No. So, it's the same thing. It's part of your short rest.
Yeah, I just get...
Or long rest, I guess.
5, and I have the spell lesson so that I can pick whatever...
Yeah.
My intelligence modifier plus my yeah. level or whatever.
Also, little thing that I do want to mention. It has not come up yet, but it is kind of brewing. There are spells from some third-party material books that I have that will be available to you guys to encounter in the story, from merchants, from spell books that you find. So I want you to kind of keep that in mind, that I will kind of give you access to other spells that aren't in the book, but you're not going to have access to them when you level up. I mentioned that during Session 0, but I just wanted to bring it up again. So... The sound of hooffalls on a hard road as the 4 of you, along with Asan, escape the Avan Castillo. 2 carts, Rook and Levi with Turnip leading the way, and Asan and Cree with the oxen behind them. Honto, looking back towards the closed portcullis, no illumination beyond a faint glow in the distance emanating from Bentivania's sword, slicing and curving. As a moment, 2 moments pass, this beacon of light is quickly consumed by darkness, extinguished. In the pitch of night, only the clattering sounds of metal remains. Honto, the carts continue down the path as you stand watching Bentivania. With your speed, you can still comfortably catch up if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, if the light goes out too, I'm just kind of grimace and catch up.
Catching your guys' collective breaths, as I mentioned, Rook with Turnip leading the way. Levi sitting next to you. Actually, I think he's in the back of the cart. Still with the mule moving pretty quickly, giddy up speed, continuing down the road. Anything that anyone does specifically? Honto, do you jump in a cart or do you continue on foot?
No, I'll continue on foot, but in like the middle of the pack.
Okay. Asan is quiet as he steadies himself. Kree, you're still manning his ox. He kind of slides over and tries to grab the reins from you.
I let him back up. Let him do it.
Takes it and begins moving. He shouts from behind. Continue up the path a little further. We should go into the desert, put as much distance between us and them as we can. We need to keep riding into the night at least, as far as we can get. What do you do?
Just keep moving.
Continuing on. A mile, maybe two, kind of goes by. Asan motions off to the side and now, with his reins in his hands, pulls the ox off, and you guys, with Turnip, kind of look back to see him pull off into the dunes, into the sand, likely just match and turn off as well. And now at this point, Asan is in the front, Honto still kind of keeping up that middle ground, and you two with Turnip in the back. You guys continue. Travel is starting to get kind of rough now that you are on the sands and not on the road. Carts are rocking and time begins to pass by. The animals have slowed a little bit, but you're off the main road. Anything that you guys do while you're traveling in the dead of night?
I want to say to Bentaveni as we're just riding.
No. Bentaveni's gone.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Asan. Hey, I'm sorry about your friend back there, Bentaveni. I know. I don't know how close you were or anything, but I know that he got the job because of previous of your history with him. So.
He said he would catch up. I'm choosing to believe him. For now.
We'll continue on until the sun starts to rise. Make camp. The animals won't be able to take too much. Thank you, Kree. Thank you.
Just give him a nod back.
Anything else that anyone else does specifically?
No.
Hours start to go by, surrounded by the darkness in the desert. 6, maybe 7, 8 hours pass.
Do I know which way we're heading?
Seems as though you guys are heading south.
Okay.
Edges of the sky are starting to take the sun's color, just right on the edges. Asan looks over to you, Kree.
The ox can't take anymore. We'll make camp here.
Okay. And I like stand up as we're moving and like wave my hands and I'm like, we'll camp here.
What do you guys do?
Yeah, I'll pull over.
Settle
wherever
up.
They want to.
Yeah.
Settle up. Asan unloads his cart, starts laying out, and you can see maybe, I mean, it's impossible to miss just like his hands shaking as he's rolling out little tarps and setting up. Like, you've seen him make camp a dozen times before. He's obviously very, very shooken up, and he's just kind of like setting up everything and kind of make it clear. It's like just barely beginning to crest on daybreak, and you guys are feeling absolutely exhausted. Mechanically speaking, if you do not go to sleep soon, we're going to start taking points of exhaustion. But Asan basically just like lays his tarp out and just like lays flat on it, and he's just laying on his side. What are you guys doing?
I'm just setting up on my, you know, just I find like a little rock or like a dry log or something set up over there. Get ready for bed.
Yeah, pretty much same thing. I'm gonna feed Turnip a little bit with any shit that I could find around.
Mm-hmm.
And then sleep.
Anything else specific for the two of you? Levi, Honto?
Yeah. I wanna meditate.
Okay. Anything particular that you're meditating on or an approach that you're taking to it?
Yeah, I think Honto feels particularly heavy about Bentivenia. So trying to feel him and in that moment, you know.
There's a moment that does kind of resonate with you while you're going through this process and maybe stepping away from everyone else a little bit and finding a nice small dune that you're able to sit on, beginning to focus and feeling the edges of your outline and where your skin meets the air and erasing that edge and trying to focus your mind. And the thought of Bentivenia crosses it, and you just feel the warmth from the sun, kind of squint your eye open, and the rising sun now meeting you, hurting your eyes a little bit. Shake it off. Continue your meditation. Anything for Levi?
No. Sorry, I'm going to go to bed also.
When you guys do eventually bed down, sleep is not hard to find. It finds you very, very quickly. Muscles are sore and body is aching from not only just the pain that has been inflicted upon you in the last 24 hours, but just the general mental wear of the situation. You guys fall asleep and awake probably, you would guess, somewhere around midday. Asan now has a fire in the center of the camp, and he's just kind of like stoking it a little bit. I'd say the first one to wake up would likely be maybe Honto, followed by Kree, Rook, Levi last.
When I wake up, can I also like say a prayer to Cedaro?
Yeah, what are the contents of your prayer?
Like, I'm like asking him if he wanted that to happen. If he sent me there, you know, with that intention, or if that was on purpose or not.
Focusing your mind and trying to commune with your God, you see right out of the corner of your eye the fire that Asan is stoking, and for a split second, you swear that the flames are purple. Shake your head, look back, and it's just a regular fire. As you guys come up, Asan, pretty much to anyone who's willing to listen, you know, he kind of turns and he's like, we can either continue through the desert to Fort Chasm, or we can make our way back to the road. I would suggest staying in the desert. I don't know wherever these Warforged will make their ways to. If we go through the desert, it'll take us 13, 14 days. Back to the road is 10. What do you suggest?
I don't know about the rest of the group here, but anybody got 14 days left of food?
I do not, but we have traps. We could be more diligent about hunting.
I would have preferred us to stock up on supplies in the Aban Castillo. He's just like...
Was that your plan?
Deep in thought. He looks towards you. Yes.
What was it?
Supplies.
Supplies. An axle?
Spare axle.
I look around to the rest of the eyes, and then back at him, and give him a nod, edging him on to speak further.
Roll persuade.
Axle, more like 15. Pussy pie.
15. I need to move past the pussy pie comment, but I physically cannot. I forget when it was, but like I had to, for some reason, I had to re-listen to that specific episode, and it was like so fucking gross. Like, I don't want to slice a pussy pie. What the fuck is wrong with you?
When was that from?
LFVCU was one of the episodes. It was like near the end too.
It had to be me that said.
So.
I rolled a 15.
Yeah, 15. Knowing glances kind of shot his way, and he just kind of returns them back to you. What you saw was a symptom of our travels there, and not the purpose of that, I swear.
You think she's alive?
I don't.
Did you try to save her?
Kind of bites the edge of his beak. I didn't.
Is there a reason for that?
Because I am a coward.
Oh. Dies with her, I guess.
If anyone in that castle survived, then it doesn't. They all knew. Her husband is not kind. That's not enough. Her husband is cruel. He is an evil man, and he enjoyed inflicting pain on his enemies, on his servants, and on her. I would visit there often, and we made a bond. That's all it was.
Bond, you sound like you're trying to save her. Tried to save her from this pain and this torture, but what'd you do in the end?
I will not tell you that I loved her, but if what has likely befallen her has befallen her, I will grieve her.
Fair's enough. I want the rest of the group to know all the intentions of what went down and why what happened happened. Because we're not in that place without you.
And I am not out of that place without you. When I was young, I never thought I would need a caravan guard. And sitting here now, I recognize that I would not be breathing if I did not take one. You saved my life. That is the truth. I would not lie to you, not after what happened. I thank you for what you've done, and that is the truth. That is not the purpose of us going there. It was for supplies, I swear.
I don't know if anyone else is catching on here, but, unless there's something else he's not telling us. It's very convenient that you needed a guard this time. Convenient we was all there. Convenient your man was there. Ventavania.
Are you accusing me of something?
Nothing at all, just difficult circumstances.
Horrible circumstances. Horrible circumstances.
How genuine is that? Is he like looking at him in the eyes as he's saying that?
Roll insight.
Eleven.
Generally seems truthful. And as I said, what you saw there, it was not the purpose. Was it inevitable? Did I expect it? Perhaps. Perhaps, but...
Hell, that's a driving purpose enough. I don't know about any other man in this circle, but, I'd make a pit stop for something like that. Anybody else? No? Wouldn't go out of their way a little bit. No one's they protected.
And if it was my intention, then what? Were you not contracted to guard caravan?
No. Well, that's what we were contracted to do. We weren't contracted to let all hell break loose out of a pit. I just weigh in consciences around here. Hope that yours feels heavy.
Mine. You think whatever had happened last night lays on my fault?
I had no reason to go to the Eyebound Castile.
You did, for you were contracted by me to guard my caravan. You had no reason to take the contract as how it should be worded, Leviticus.
All's enough. I'm just saying I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad nothing. Neither should the three of you.
There is a lot that will happen. I don't know how long the Warforged will stay there. I don't know if they can climb walls. I don't know if they can dig, if they can burrow. I don't know what Esmer's going to do when he returns to his castle to find it filled with all those things. I don't know.
But did you know that they would be there?
No, of course not. A ridiculous thing to say.
Esmer?
Count of Vaughn. Ridiculous accusation to make.
Oh, shit. You know if he was coming back anytime soon?
I don't. I have no idea. Despite his nature, part of me pities the man. His father was the reason they had the castle. His father was an executioner, but if not for his own nature, I'm sure that the two of them, himself and the Countess, would have lived, or at least coexisted, happily. Again, at the very least, and all I want to say to the four of you is thank you. And whether you saved my life for the promise of coin or not, it doesn't matter. When we reach Fort Chasm, and we will reach Fort Chasm, please, I want you to expect extra pay for what you did. You did not have to come back to get me.
Start packing up my stuff and readying.
Yeah, I'm like packing up turnip, getting them ready to go. Oh, on the road again.
Yep.
Pack up.
I go put out the fire, and as I do put out the fire, I walk up to it and I inspect it again, and I want to see if there's any purple.
No. Nope.
Flickering or anything.
No, none at all.
I pull my sword out, and I think of Bentavenia. And I put my sword in the fire.
Edges and tip of your blade begins to heat, transitioning from an orange to a red to a white.
I want to use my Pact of the Blade ability to turn it into, from a long sword into a great sword.
Shroom.
Purple tattoo inscribed great sword.
Describe what it looks like in detail. And also
it
whatever
is,
kind of limitations of the ability to.
Before looking at this 2 foot tall, 25 pound kobold, the longsword looked big enough, but as it's sticking in the fire and growing, this fucking greatsword, it's transforming into a greatsword. It's getting thicker, wider, longer. The hilt's getting heavier. It looks heavier. Purple, dark purple are inscribed on the blade, just traveling throughout the blade up to the tip, and it looks this does not make sense that Kree can carry this thing, but it's fucking gigantic.
Now you look like a little dragon guts with your guts sword.
Yeah, I'm little kobold guts.
I am curious too, just real quick, the like you mentioned, like inscriptions, are they like runes or are they symbols? What exactly are they?
They're like runes from my, you know, from my colony, but like they're like Cithero religious runes. Like they say things in undercommon.
Gotcha.
And I make it disappear, and then I put the fire out, and then I'm ready to go. And that's
do
it.
Gain,
do you think anyone would have seen that? Yeah, you guys do. Did we rolled for your health last session?
I wasn't hiding it.
I would imagine some people catch a glimpse. Asan reiterates his previous point. Are we to go back to the main road or continue on the desert? What is the best course of action here?
I feel fairly confident in my ability to hunt with 7 traps per night. If we want to take our chances in the desert, I think we will survive.
Let's do it. I'm okay with that.
I might need some help from the rest of you, but we don't have much else to do.
Then the desert it is. He puts his stuff back in the back of his cart, hops in the front, begins to move along in his ox. What's the, seating situation here? Hanta, you still staying on foot?
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody else on, Turnip's cart?
Yep, yeah. I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Asan leading the way, moving along. First day of travel, starting at around midday, any conversations that occur? It's a slower speed than normal.
Y'all remember the fella he was talking about? Esmer?
Refresh me.
He was the one, a half pence member, we were gonna save the guy on the boat, doing all the drugs, needed all the money. Really? He said we could save him. Or he's being sold to Esmer, the guy that eats people.
Esmer, that's right.
He was buying Okemic. I can see he's not a great man. Damn. Be nice to get hold of that chemist. Gonna be nice.
Continuing on. The sand is soft and the wheels are kind of getting caught sometimes, and Turnip needs to put a little bit more power behind each step as you guys continue on. Midday, sun comes a little bit lower in the sky till eventually surrounded by this sea of dunes and desert. The sun starts to set and Asan pulls off the cart to make camp. Anything that happens this night at camp, and are you guys keeping watches?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying. I'm keeping at least one shift.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I want to take a shift.
I'll help with the traps too if you're sending them out.
Yeah, we're gonna. So there's some. Are we 14 days, right?
Yep.
Some things I'd like to set up standing.
Yep.
Okay. Should we do that?
Yeah. What's the standard operating procedures?
Okay, as far as hunting goes, I have 7 hunting traps, so we're gonna lay those traps every single night. I'm gonna lay them, and, I'm gonna oversee where we lay all of them, I'll say, so that way I can choose because of my knowledge in hunting here. And we're gonna lay all 7, and then in the morning we're gonna check all 7 and collect all 7.
Okay, so instead of having you roll individually for each night, what I'm gonna have you do is I'm gonna make you make 3 survival rolls, and they're all gonna be at advantage because of your training that you got. And based off of those 3 results, we'll be able to say whether or not you guys are able to get enough food to assist with the natural ration consumption that you guys are going at.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and roll survival for me 3 times.
+2, 17.
17
for the first.
Oh,
man. Whoa. Whew, 2 and a 1. So that's a 4.
That was rough.
17 again.
Okay, 17 for 17. Based on that result, the general endpoint that you will arrive at is that you are able to, across these 14, 13 days, able to accrue enough food to, in conjunction with the rations that you guys have left, get you enough, but just 14 days.
Like, we make it.
Barely. You guys are, eating scraps by the end of it.
And at no point, on average, at no point will we dip into exhaustion.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So one day you might get two, save it for the day after.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
kind of thing.
Understood.
But you just make it.
Okay. Cool.
Any other standard operating procedures for these nights at camp, or even just like these days of travel in general?
Yeah. I am going to use... I know we didn't talk about how it's going to get implemented yet, but vaguely. Honto is going to start... Instead of meditating and painting, you see that he is now playing with sand. And... Technically, I'm going to use arms at night while I meditate.
Gotcha.
Okay.
By the end of the seventh day, I will say that you would have what you're looking for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, and I'm going to want you
it's
to kind of explain
look,
it
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit,
yeah.
but...
Yeah, I would say that if a fight came up in character, I wouldn't even be ready to use it. Like, I have to do it at night.
Gotcha.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. And what do these... This training kind of look like?
Well, are we...
Are you going outside of people's view? Are you trying to do it kind of away from everybody?
No, I'll do it as I typically was, like maybe in the same spots that I were, you know, trying to get to like a high point on a dune. And maybe we're not exactly right there, but if it's right next to us, it is. If it's not, it's, you know.
Tell you what, I'll catch up with you on like day 7.
Yeah.
And we'll,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'll RP it, like, it for sure.
So anything else, just standard operating procedures for like camp in general?
This can't count as a long rest, right?
No, unfortunately, because it is rough travel, sadly.
Kree is, like, also hard, like, psycho shit praying. Like, muttering to himself, praying. The past these 7 days.
Starting on this day?
Yeah.
What are the contents of the prayer?
Just what, pretty much what he's been asking, like, am I on your path? Like, am I back on the path? Like... Was this intentional? Am I on the right path? That's about it.
Anything for Rook? Just general stuff that you'll be doing at camp?
Pretty much just like tending to turn up.
So,
oh.
No, I'm sorry, Levi. Hi. Hey.
Hey, my turn. Can I forage?
You forage for alchemical supplies and stuff?
Yeah. And if there's any. Probably not. Looking for any scrap metal that's left in the desert, if there's any.
Interesting question. I'll catch up with you if stuff catches your eye, but just cool. In general, roll me a survival check.
Five.
And it's not really your fault, but while... you kind of begin this first night of, like, looking around, foraging, just strictly talking about, like, herbs and stuff like that, things that would be interesting alchemically in nature, there's not a lot here. It's very, very barren in this area, and as you guys are progressing, we're going to jump further in, but, you know, these first 3, 4, 5 days, you're noticing the ground getting harder and drier, almost like cracked salt plains, whereas before it was like this more flowing kind of desert area. As you guys progress through, a lot less vegetation, for sure. As far as just general stuff that you'll find, I'll just let you know if you do find stuff, because at the very least, you are going out every night, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether that's going to set the traps and just taking a little bit extra time.
That first night ends uneventfully. You guys continue on your travel on the second night. And any conversations that come up, anything that anyone says to anybody during those first 2 days of travel?
Yes. As we're sitting around the bonfire... like setting up camp. Actually, first, I do have a question. I know, Levi, you mentioned if this counts as a long rest, and the answer was no. Would this count as a short rest?
Yeah,
any of this
every
travel?
Every single night. Every single night is a short rest.
Sweet. Okay. Cool. Just wanted to note that for myself. But I want to say, like, as we're sitting around the fire, like, I don't know if I was... just that close to death when we were in that tunnel, but I could have sworn I saw on my way unicorn floating above my head. I swear that unicorn
picked me up from the ground and made me walk again.
And I look at Rook and I'm like,
can you transform into a unicorn?
The unicorn helped me. But that was me. I lifted you up. Could I transform into one? Well, I'm working on it.
You were dead. It felt like a fever dream to me.
It was a bad situation.
It was.
I don't want to have to do that again, Kree. We put ourselves in a bad situation.
Yes, we did. And I'm slowly finding that you are a good judge of whether or not we are putting ourselves in a good situation or a bad one.
Rook, like, kind of chuckles in a way. And he looks at Kree.
You guys always put yourselves in bad situations, I've learned.
I can't speak for the other two, but we kobolds put ourselves in bad situations all our lives until we die.
Well, so far so good, right? We're still here.
That's right.
You gotta keep
I get up out. And I walk over to you and I stick my hand out and I want to shake your hand.
I want to shake your hand. I want to shake your hand.
Let me shake your hand.
Rook shakes your hand. Shakes it back.
I grip really hard.
Probably like, hurts.
Like I imagine I'm feeling some cactus juice.
Oh, my cactus sweaty palms.
Yeah. And I look at you like deep in your soul.
Yeah, and you look straight into the holes in my head. Just black eyes. But I'm staring back, right up back at you.
I have never prayed for my way. Frankly, I've never prayed for anyone but myself. But I'm praying for you.
I appreciate that, Kree. You're a good friend.
As are you. And he's going to help you the way he helps me if you let him.
Who's him?
Cedro. He's my patron.
Oh. I'm excited to meet him.
So am I.
Smirk from ear to ear. Just walk back to my spot.
Anything else on that second night of camp?
Does the son's demeanor change at all through these days, or no?
He's quiet, reserved, kind of sits by himself a lot.
Okay.
Night takes, you guys. Kree, there's a moment during your watch where you are just sitting there by the fire. Everyone else is asleep. You have a feeling that you're going to switch shifts pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Specifically, with you know that Rook is going to take over for you. You're sitting there. Roll perception.
16.
You hear this, like, deep kind of breathy noise coming from the fire.
I look right at it.
In a snap, the flames turn purple. The fire rises skinnier but taller for a moment. You're just kind of like looking at it.
I kneel. I get up and I kneel.
Head bowed, you look back up, and the flame is back to normal.
I recite like the Cithero equivalent to like
Hail Mary, no, full of grace.
Start in heaven. Like, I don't know that the Christian like prayer, but it's like, praise thy Father, thou art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be. Like, I'm citing that version of, like, the Cithero version of that.
Mm-hmm. And, you get the sense that it's time to switch off with Rook. You'll have to wake him up.
Wake up to Rook, shake him by the shoulder.
I wake up, and I start my watch.
Yep, standing up, and as you're walking back over to the campfire, you turn around to see Cree fall face first into the dirt and begin seizing. His tattoos begin glowing a sickly purple energy. I need everyone to leave the table except for Alex.
Fuck.
After waking Rook up and walking your way back to your sleeping spot, before you make it there, the edges of your vision turn black. You're in a dark, empty cave, echoing sounds of dripping water from stalactites. And in a flash, purple fire breathed from the maw of this massive, violet dragon illuminates the cavernous surroundings. The creature's far in the distance, but the size is unmistakable. This rolling purple flame coming out of its maw ignites lines of torches in sconces on the cavern walls, now each casting this dim lavender light. And in an instant, the dragon is gone. But quickly, you feel this tightening sensation. You look down to see a scaled purple tail constricting around you, squeezing you tightly, wrapping from your ankles, corkscrewing up and quickly constricting up to your head, covering your eyes, tightening pressure and blackness. And then a voice.
Speak your mind, whelp.
Still pitch black.
I'm like just trying to shimmy wrapped around this great beast's tail, and I say, I need your guidance. Cithero, I need your guidance. I've long been looking for you, praying for you, and you have heard my calls and my prayers.
Thrice you ran. The first, the worst. Even the weakest of whelps would have died with his brothers. The second, among the cursed ducks. The third, hours ago. You are my champion, not of choice, but of necessity. You are weak, you are a coward. You think yourself smart. So answer me, could you raise your sword without me?
Of course I cannot. Of course I cannot.
It's just quiet, just like this dead silence, and the constriction just gets kind of tighter.
Kree's sobbing.
Those who remain living from your clan are worthless to me. They are enshackled. No. They are enchained.
No.
You are all that remains.
Please tell me, is my brother, is he alive? Revos, Is he out there?
Silence. You will atone for your cowardice. Beginning with the most recent. The source of these red-eyed warforged. You will find him, and you will kill him. He is in possession of a stone. You will take it. You will not return to the Black Castillo ever again. Second, Cramfir Lorwarun, Captain Hallo. Kill him.
Aye.
Let his body sink to the mud murks below. Lastly, your first incident of cowardice, one I believe you not able to atone for. We will speak more in time, for you have plenty of it. You are my vassal. You represent all that I am, all that the Violet Touched are. You are all that remains. But you continue to disappoint me. You think yourself loyal. And perhaps you are, but forgot not that I own you. Your soul is mine, and I, Cithero, am the only thing standing between that soul reaching where it should when you die.
I am your Cithero. I will do what you command.
And a snap in the middle of your sentence, you awake to see Rook looking down at you.
Sorry.
Rook, as you are awoken and Kree begins to make his way back to his little rock that he was sleeping on, you see him fall face first into the sand, begin seizing as his tattoos begin to glow with this purple light. What do you do?
I kind of like panic, and I run up to him, but does it look like something like I shouldn't get near
it,
to me?
Oh,
do I
roll,
get that type
roll
of
Arcana?
Idea? Hold on, I'm sorry. 7.
You're not sure. But he's seizing like he's having a seizure.
Is he like foaming?
He's face down, you don't know.
Alright, I turn him. I go touch him and I turn him over.
Yeah, so you put your hands on him, roll a...
Or I turn him to like his side.
Roll a wisdom saving throw.
The fuck are you laughing at? It's high. 25, I think.
Okay. You're okay as you put your hands on him, 25. Roll him over onto his side, and you can see he's frothing from the mouth. But the one thing that's very, very strange is as you turn him, he's like way lighter than you know Crete to be. Almost as if like he's like lifting off the ground a little bit, and you just kind of roll him really gently, and he's just seizing.
Is he making noise?
No, it's complete quiet, just this sound of like you hear like his boots digging into the sand a little bit, and it's very, very quick, like these jagged movements, his tattoos glowing this bright purple color. See, looking up towards his face, you see the whites of his eyes kind of rolling over.
I use my healer kit on him.
Okay, go ahead and
heal him.
Go ahead and roll roll the healing there.
Oh yeah, so sorry.
It's my wound.
6, so it's gonna be 12.
12 points of healing. You just begin putting on these balms and oils, but he's just convulsing and he's not stopping. I need you to roll another wisdom saving throw.
Joe, can you check your phone?
Yeah.
22.
I'm gonna get back to you on this. Just give me 1 second.
All right.
22. Again, you are not going to suffer anything as this burst of arcane purple eldritch energy comes out from Kree and his tattoos stop. He stops seizing and he's just laying in the sand, and it kind of bumps you onto your feet, and you kind of get back down and look down at him as his eyes open up.
I just kind of stare at him and I go like kind of like freaked out.
Kree?
Like grab you by the neck, like tears fucking bursting down my eyes, like
He spoke to me. See the row?
I like cover his mouth, like keep it down.
I would say that would probably wake Honto.
I just sit up and say nothing.
Yeah. I'm just like shh.
Don't tell me what happened.
Now both hands are on your cheeks.
We should have fucking killed him. We should have fucking killed the captain. Captain Arlo! We're going back and we're killing him tonight. I don't care if the others come.
Not tonight, Kree.
I look around, like, frantically. I'm looking around.
Honto's just, like, looking at you, laying in his bedroll.
I look at you, like, jaw drop, like...
Tonight. Fuck all of these. Fuck all of this. I will give you whatever... If you're in it for gold, I will give you whatever gold you want. We have to go back to the docks.
But what did you see? Why?
Tears are streaming down my face.
You said you're my friend, didn't you?
I am.
You told me. It felt like moments ago you told me that we were friends.
We are.
I knew it. Most of them are dead. Most of them are probably dead.
I need you to tell me what you saw.
And I'm like, I keep on like paranoid, like looking over to like see if anyone's waking up or anything like that.
Honto just or staring.
Mostly,
yeah.
Mostly Hassan.
Yeah, Hassan like, is kind of like peeking over, asleep. Like
seeing where what Hassan's.
So is Levi. I would say Levi's still sleeping.
So he's like catching his breath. Did he get the healing or at all?
Yeah, you did. You if you have
how
missing
many
health, 12. 12.
All right. Kree's like catching his breath, and he's like,
"It was Cedaro. It was Cedaro that talked to me." He
said, "Have you never really talked to him before?" Again?
It's been a long time. It has been a long, long time.
Okay.
He told me. My intuition about that fucking dragonborn cunt was right.
Okay.
He told me that. We had to kill him. We have to go back and.
And Kree's like smiling so hard right now. He's like.
And we have to kill him. Kree. We have to kill him.
We're really far away.
That's fine, as long as we turn around now, we're about 2 weeks
or so out. We came all this way and almost died to Warforged just to turn around now?
Look, the way that I see it, we got paid for gold per day. I will give you all the gold that you want, I don't give a shit.
I don't care about gold, it's not my point, Kree. I'm saying we do have a group here and it's really not up to the two of us, and I don't think we can kill Mr. Hollow on our own.
Hondo, I know you're listening.
I don't think it is wise to abandon our current mission. Kree, in due time, we will fulfill your mission.
It'll be the very next thing we do.
Promise? Do you swear that?
I swear.
You promise that?
I swear it on
Sudoro. I walk back up to you and I stick my hand out and I say, shake on it then.
I shake on it.
I walk up to Hanto.
Please join us, friend. Please.
I don't know that I can promise you that.
I raise a brow.
Would you rather find out what is causing all this, all these warforged to come around here?
I don't know.
I walk back to my spot and I sit down. And I don't go back to sleep. I say,
look, if you want to take watch, you can. I'm going to be up. No, no need to worry, but it's really your call.
And I close my eyes and I start to pray.
You are staying up through the night?
Yes.
You are going to suffer 1 point of exhaustion. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my watch anyways, right?
Yeah.
I stay up.
Yeah. Continue your watch. And this is going to be the last watch of the night.
Yeah. I do want to, I want to go sit and I want to talk to you still. I go sit next to Kree.
Praying quietly? Or praying silently?
Quietly. Okay. I'm like mumbling.
Does Hollow have everything to do with the Warforged? Was it him?
No, I don't think so. I think that, three things happened that I failed at. Three things completely not connected. I don't think. But all I know is that when I wanted to kill him, that was half me and half Cedo pushing me to kill him. And look, when we get back there, I only wish we did it sooner.
What did he do? You still haven't told me.
Captain Hollow?
Yes.
He insulted Cedar. Insulted him. He insulted his name. He insulted the people that he blessed, the kobolds. He insulted my colony, most of which have died. And he will be punished. He will be punished.
So he didn't, like, kill children or rape women?
I don't really care about that, to be honest with you. I really don't care. We have to kill him. I am punishing Captain Hollow through Cedro. I am his vessel again.
Rook just kind of like stares at the ground quietly.
As you're just looking around, like,
I am taking a promise to my grave.
I just go back to praying.
And I just stay on watch.
Sun rises. Everyone else wakes up. Maybe has morning meals. And breaks camp for the third day. Any conversations? Anything that you guys do in the morning? Anything like that on the start of this third day?
Pack up, turnip, keeping a close eye on my buddy Kree. Yeah.
Any changes in Kree's demeanor that would be noticeable to Levi specifically across this day, or no?
I do want to speak to Levi, but privately, like when we start moving.
Okay. Yeah, so you can either, if you want to do it now or you want to do it at a camp, it's your call. Whatever you want to do.
That's fine, yeah. Like, as we're moving, like, I just want to say to Levi,
Yeah, you guys are in the back of Turnip's cart.
Yeah. Like I nudge you, Levi, and I say, you are a very curious man, are you not? Smirking.
I'd say so, yeah.
These vials, these multiple sources of magic you have, surely that is a pursuit of yours, no?
A love.
I have certain loves in this life. But one thing that has piqued my curiosity is what has happened to these Warforged. I have to ask, when you spoke to Asan, and I'm like looking at Asan, whatever noble folks you spoke to in the castle, did they seem to mention anything about what the source of these Warforged was?
No, nothing specific. They seemed just as confused and scared, frankly, as us.
I see. Well, the others know, and you are just as close to me as the others are. So I must tell you this. It is an obligation of mine. I have been tasked last night by Cidaro to find the source of this Warforged magic. He told me that it is from a stone. If they mentioned anything about the stone, I would love to hear it. I'm all ears. We must find the stone. And it would mean a lot to me if you helped me on this quest.
No stone comes to my keen mind, right?
No, not particularly, okay. No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one for weighing too heavy on myself, but those Warforged, they're gonna get over those walls and they're gonna get to other people.
They will.
I'm okay if we come out of this like heroes. We saved some people in that town. We saved ourselves, but we saved the day. We take down the Warforged. I could be heroes.
It's only to our benefit in so many ways, in terms of the Adventurers Guild, in terms of our ranking, in terms of the gold that we will make, in terms of Cedro's message to me last night when he finally spoke to me.
Yeah, congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I stick my hand out to shake it. And I promise you that if you help me do this, there's one other thing that I'm going to ask for a favor of you, but I promise, whatever you need, I will do it. I swear it. By my God, I will do it.
I like the sound of that. You got a head in there, buddy?
Heading where? What do you mean?
Heading to some... We found the stone. A stone.
No, he did not really give me guidance on that. Maybe a son would know, but I have no guidance.
All right, we'll find your stone.
I reach out and I just grab your hand.
I shake it.
Smile.
Take a point of inspiration. Originally, I wanted to give it to you for just waking up with Rook, but I forgot to give it to you. But please take that.
Sweet. I do want to convey that to everybody, that there's a stone that, you know, Cedar told me a stone powers this Warforged magic, and there's someone that has the stone that Bree wants to get it from. What I want to convey.
Unless there's any other conversations that occur on that third day, it ends uneventfully. Anything that you guys want to do during travel or camp for the next three?
Same that I've been doing.
Anybody else?
Same shit.
Just pray.
Yeah.
Okay. Start of the seventh day. continuing on, carving your path. You're likely over halfway to Fort Chasm. Asan is quiet, does not speak unless spoken to. And as I mentioned prior, just kind of regarding, Levi taking a look for any kind of alchemical stuff or just generally looking for bits and bobbles, anything you can find, the ground is getting significantly drier. There are no more dunes. They're now being slowly replaced by these rocky outcroppings, these salt flats, this chipped and worn ground, heavily compacted. Now, the good part about this is it makes it a lot easier for the carts, for sure. But you guys continue on regardless. 7 days into your journey to Fort Chasm, the four of you along with Asan find yourselves still within the desert. That's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.